WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Whoa, 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 TGIF, ladies and gents. Yes, you have made it. The end of the week is here, and you can smell the weekend, right? Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm the man behind the mic, your guy, Al Martin. We have a great show to end the week. We will be talking about, of course, the Pistons trade and overall NBA trade fiasco today. We'll also be talking about the Big Ten Conference as they are in talks right now of possibly ruling freshmen ineligible. How about that? We'll also invite Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, to chat with me. And also, we'll reflect on this Friday with Reflection Friday and give you our thoughts on the NFL Combine and so much more. Of course, our phone lines will be open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. And also, we will have ticket giveaways for you as the MSU women's basketball team plays its final home game of the year this Sunday. If you want to go to that, stay tuned and find out how you can win those. But hey, let's start this current sports party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 20th, brought to you by the one, the only, Chris Haller.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Chris Haller, and here are your current sports quick hit headliners. The Detroit Pistons made a splash at the trade deadline, acquiring guard Reggie Jackson and forward Tayshaun Prince. The Pistons sent guard DJ Augustine, forward Kyle Singler, and a pair of future second-round picks to the Oklahoma City Thunder in a three-team trade with the Utah Jazz. Jackson will slide into the starting point guard role and will bring an element of size and athleticism to the position that the team lacked previously. Prince returns to the Pistons from a trade with the Boston Celtics. The Prince of the Palace spent his first 10 seasons of his career with the team. He'll split time at small forward with Caron Butler over the final 28 games. The team also signed D-League forward Quincy Miller to a 10-day contract. None of yesterday's acquisitions are expected to play tonight against the Chicago Bulls. The Detroit Lions are taking steps to keep its vaunted D-line intact. General manager Martin Mayhew announced that the team will tender an offer to defensive end George Johnson. The 27-year-old was a training camp addition last season, and none expected much contribution after only playing in 11 games over a four-year career. But Johnson played all 16 games and finished with 29 tackles and 6 sacks. The tender of Johnson ensures the return of the team's top three defensive ends. The Big Ten is gathering feedback from its members about potentially making freshman athletes ineligible for competition as they adapt to college lifestyle. The league has provided background to its members about such a step but has made no official proposal at this point. Big Ten football coaches and athletic directors didn't discuss freshman ineligibility at their recent business meeting, but they expect to do so in the coming months. The Big Ten released its men's basketball scheduling rotation for next season, and Michigan State's lone league game with rival Michigan will take place in Ann Arbor. The last time the Spartans and Wolverines didn't play twice was in the 2008-2009 season. Tom Izzo said Thursday that there was no talks to schedule a non-league game against U of M for the Breslin Center. Izzo told reporters after Thursday's practice, quote, "We did it 1 year, and I don't know if it works so good. I don't like not playing them twice, but I don't like a lot of things about the schedule and about this number of teams in this league." The Michigan High School Soccer Coaches Association will induct former Mason boys and girls coach John Gillengarten and Okemos coach John Picone into its Hall of Fame. Gillengarten coached soccer for 25 years and has 370 wins under his belt while winning 3 state titles with the boys team. Picone won 291 games during his 19-year tenure, including a state title in 1984. The ceremony will be held tonight at 6 p.m. in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Basil Saad, the man who fatally punched a soccer referee in June, has agreed to a plea deal, according to his lawyer. Attorney Cyril Hall said he expects Saad to plead guilty to no contest to involuntary manslaughter during a hearing Friday in Detroit. Saad's trial has been scheduled to begin Monday. 36-year-old auto mechanic from Dearborn is charged with second-degree murder, which carries a potential life sentence. The plea deal will reduce Saad's sentence to 8 to 15 years in prison. Major League Baseball announced today that it has implemented significant pace-of-play rule changes for the 2015 season in an effort to speed up the game. The rules include managers staying in the dugout during replay challenges, hitters keeping at least 1 foot in the batter's box during at-bats, a prompt return to play after TV commercial breaks, and timed pitching changes. Violators will receive an initial warning, and repeat offenders will receive a fine. Those are your current sport quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527. Phone lines are open.
My man, 100 grand. Appreciate that, dude. I tell you what, folks. Again, we got a great show in store for you. And I would be remiss if I did not bring up the outstanding work that the students are doing here at Current Sports. You just heard the voice of Chris Haller, who is one of those students. Also, the students are going out and doing a lot of reporting from around the area of Mid-Michigan on a lot of the high schools from around Mid-Michigan. Chris actually has a great article on Desmond Ferguson, who is the head coach of the Lansing Everett boys basketball team, and he kind of profiled Desmond Ferguson's tenure leading up to, of course, his tenure with now Lansing Everett, and how he's turning Everett hoops around. So you can check out that article. We also have another article written by Leah Kamana, who profiled David Zoltowski, who is a Michigan State University men's swimmer, and she kind of profiled him and talked about not only his I tell you what, he's a great swimmer, but also he's majoring in electrical engineering and studying the brain as well. So she profiled that and how he's balancing all of that. We also have a few more articles up from Madeline Carino, who profiled Kelsey Kuypers, as she has been a fill-in for the MSU women's basketball team, but that's not the reason why Kelsey came to MSU. She's actually a volleyball player. So she profiled that story, which was really well done. And also Spencer Impelizzeri, who profiled the MSU men's tennis team. So we have all of those articles. You want to check out each and every one of those features. The students are doing one incredible job. All you got to do to check out those articles is go to WKAR.org, go to the radio tab, click Current Sports Radio, scroll down, and you will see all of those articles and so much more. I'll also be posting another one tonight from another one of the students actually profiling the MSU wrestling team. So you don't want to miss that at all. And also, we'll have coverage from the wrestling meet tonight. Actually, we're sending our intern out there, Kelsey Patrick. She'll be covering that as well. So you get to see footage from that. Also, later on the website, you'll get to see my visit to the MSU men's basketball practice. I talked to Tom Izzo, chatted with Travis Trice. Who else did we talk to? Tum Tum. And Brandon Dawson. So you'll get to see that later on today. So keep it locked to WKR.org. We'll have a lot of coverage throughout the day on the website. Well, folks, as you just heard from Chris, our phone lines are open. They will stay open all the way up until 2 o'clock. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Have one more extended headliner for you all. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but more news from the NBA, as if there was a shortage, right? But doctors actually treating Miami Heat star forward Chris Bosh are concerned that he may have developed a blood clot in his lung, but are still waiting for tests to make a diagnosis. Now, Bosch's agent, Henry Thomas, told ESPN in a text that early results are inconclusive regarding Bosch's medical condition and that they are still sorting through everything at this point. Now, I also got another report from NBA.com saying that if it is found that this condition is serious, Bosch could miss the rest of the NBA year. How about that? That's scary stuff right there, folks. So hopefully that news doesn't turn out to be one in which we won't see Bosch play the rest of the season. Also, folks, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, I mean, I was flipping and flopping my channels. Of course, I checked out Scandal, which I'm a big fan of, which airs on ABC, and I was pretty upset last night. about Scandal's episode. But for those of you who haven't watched the latest episode with Kerry Washington and so on and so forth, I won't spoil it for you. No spoiler alerts here. But I was pretty upset after watching that episode. I actually voiced my disconcern with that episode on Twitter. So still, don't go to my tweets and look that up, because, again, that also contains a spoiler. But anyway, Scandal aired last night. Of course, a plethora of shows. Thursday night primetime television is such a tough slot to try and fit anything in. But Current Sports TV airs at 10 p.m. each and every Thursday night, folks. And if you happen to miss my sit-down with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1, he is the co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show, which is aired each and every weekday morning on Detroit Sports 105.1. Rico also does a plethora of other things, including he is a contributor to SpartanMag.com. His ear is very close to the recruiting scene. If you missed our sit-down, which was a pretty revealing one and pretty entertaining one, to say the least, just simply go to video.wkar.org to check out that episode and every episode that we've done in Current Sports TV history. So you don't want to miss that, folks. I have to remind you all about that. All right, well, let's dive into the show, because there is a lot to talk about with so little time. Man, oh, man. Again, the number to call in is 517-355-9527. And before I get to the first topic, I just talked about ticket giveaways here on the show. Of course, the MSU women's basketball team, they will actually have their final, that's right, their final home game of the year this Sunday against Rutgers. It will be senior day, as players like Becca Mills will be bidding adieu to the Spartan program. But I'll be out there to cover that game. But hey, if you want to be out there to witness that game, all you got to do is call in right now, folks. We'll go with caller number 1-517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Caller number 1 will win tickets to that game this Sunday against Rutgers at the Breslin Center. So call in, and we will announce the winner later on in the show. Well, what a day it was yesterday, folks. And you know what? I tell you what, during our show yesterday at 1 o'clock from 1 to 2, it was relatively quiet. Relatively quiet when it came to the NBA trade scene. I mean, there were a few talks here and there, but nothing really solid. There were a few solid moves made, but it's what happened after our show at 2 o'clock that really got a lot of heads turning and a lot of headlines being typed up, because it was the most active day in NBA trade deadline history, folks. So many moves made, and of course, the local tie. Of course, as you just heard from Chris, the Detroit Pistons made a splash at the end of the trade deadline, acquiring guard Reggie Jackson from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And, yeah, a little blast from the past here, folks. I tell you what, that 2004 team just won't seem to die. I tell you that. It saw the reacquisition of former Piston forward. Now, of course, he's rocking the red, white, and royal blue once again, Tayshaun Prince. How about that from the Memphis Grizzlies? So, of course, the Pistons, they sent guard DJ Augustine and forward Kyle Singler and future second-round picks to the Oklahoma City Thunder in a three-team trade with the Utah Jazz. Interesting move here that got a lot of attention and relatively so. I mean, because these were certainly big moves. I mean, anytime you give up Augustine and Singler and Jonas Jerebko, not so much Gigi Datome because he didn't play a lot with the Pistons. But, I mean, those three, Augustine, Singler, and Jerebko, were pretty big names and relatively solid contributors for this Piston team. So, you know, when breaking down this thing, because, you know, I've heard of variances amounts of different opinions. Some people like the trade moves. Some people don't like the trade moves. It varies depending on who you ask. But let's kind of break this thing down, I guess, section by section. First, what did they give up? Well, when you look at DJ Augustine, I tell you what, he was a top point guard in this league looking at his contributions before the All-Star break. DJ was actually, for this year so far, averaging a little over 10 points per game, almost 2 rebounds per game, and almost 5 assists per game. Now, those numbers are kind of skewed, because if you look at the injury to Brandon Jennings, when Brandon went down, DJ had to be forced into a starting point guard role and had to really shoulder the incredible load and void that Brandon Jennings left upon that Achilles heel injury. Looking at the month of November, right after that Brandon Jennings injury, I tell you what, DJ Augustine was stellar, folks. He averaged 19.8 points per game, 8.2 assists per game, shot almost 50% from the floor. I mean, that's impressive stuff. Impressive stuff. But I will say this, though. I mean, the sample size of DJ Augustine it wasn't that big because, again, his minutes started to grow, and naturally so once Jennings went down. But we really didn't get to see him in a span of 20 or so games to really judge just how high his ceiling is. He's a guy who has a ceiling, which we don't know how high he is because we haven't seen enough of him. The other guy they gave up, Kyle Singler, 7.1 points per game, 2.6 rebounds per game, and almost 2 assists per game. That's what Kyle brought to the table. And I tell you what, I really like Kyle Singler because when he came in, he brought a relative feeling of consistency when he was in the game, folks. He played very, very hard. You know, at times, you know, before he cracked into that starting role, he was coming off the bench and was really a spark plug off the bench for the Pistons in, at many times when they needed to. He played solid defense, and statistically, he was the best three-point shooter on the team, something that the Pistons desperately needed last year. So, you know, they gave up Kyle Singler. So Singler and Augustine, they got sent to OKC. And then, of course, Jonas Jerebko, who I really liked as well. You talk about a guy coming off the bench and giving you consistent buckets. Jerebko did that. We really didn't know how good or how bad, for that matter, Gigi Datome is. Of course, Gigi came from the Italian League. He was actually the MVP of the Italian League before getting signed with Detroit. So that's what they gave up, folks. Augustine, Singler, Jerebko, and Datome. Now, let's look on the flip side. What did they get in return? Now, I'm one of the guys who, when this whole thing went down, I really didn't know how to feel at first because I thought that, again, DJ Augustine was playing relatively solid. The Pistons gave up their best shooter. I'm sitting there saying, okay, Reggie Jackson and Tayshaun Prince in return, I don't know. So I tried to, you know, when looking at this move, you had to sort of shift your mind into the mind of a GM or coach. What was Stan thinking when this move went down? Who, by the way, Stan Van Gundy has a very, very, very good poker face. Very good poker face. Because if you remember, when he was interviewed right before the trade deadline, Stan Van kind of had this really relatively nonchalant attitude saying, I don't know if we'll make a big move. I don't expect us to make a big move before the trade deadline. And then, boom, 2 big moves are made. Actually, 4 when you take into account what they gave up. Now, Reggie Jackson is a guy who's 24 years old, So he's very, very young. He's my age, folks. I'm 24 years old. So he's very young. You know, when you compare him, you know, when you compare him to guards here, DJ Augustine is 27 years old. I had no idea he was 27 until I had to look that up. But Reggie Jackson is a young guy who has a lot of potential of being a preeminent all-star on a consistent basis year by year, if you ask me. I watched him a lot when he was in OKC, you know, playing second fiddle to Russell Westbrook, which I'll get to in just a sec. But he's very athletic. He can penetrate. He's got a great first step. He's not afraid of taking big shots. And, you know, when looking at it, I think he's a great replacement for the fallen Brandon Jennings because he brings, you know, a scoring mentality. But at times we've seen him also play the role of facilitator. Naturally so when you have, you know, guys like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, who are, in my opinion, 2 top 5 players in today's NBA. Now, another aspect that I think is being overlooked here when you talk about the acquisition of Reggie Jackson is playoff experience. Reggie Jackson has been to the playoffs, and he has performed pretty solid when on that big stage. If you remember last year, if we could rewind the clock really quickly to last year's NBA playoffs. If you remember in that first round, which really, you know, this game is what kind of catapulted the Thunder into the NBA's Western Conference semifinals. Reggie Jackson had a performance that everyone was talking about the day after. Do you remember that 32.9 rebound performance in Game 4 of the first round series against Memphis? I mean, it was spectacular. He was a spark plug. You know, I use that word a lot because, I mean, that's ideally what he was. I mean, he came into the game, and on a night where Kevin Durant couldn't find the bottom of the basket. Also, Russell Westbrook, he was struggling as well. They needed someone to step up. And if Reggie Jackson didn't, I don't know if they would have came out with that series, to be honest with you guys. But, you know, he had 32 points, 9 rebounds in Game 4 of that first round. And, you know, it was really, you know, it showed that Reggie Jackson is not afraid of the moment. He's a guy who steps up when need be. Now, I will say, this season has been such a struggle for Reggie Jackson. And I don't know if you guys looked at Reggie Jackson's Twitter feed. Once he found out that he got traded to the Detroit Pistons, he was actually taking a nap during the entire NBA trade deadline. He woke up from the nap to find out that he was a Detroit Piston, and he immediately went online and started to tweet, You know, I found out that I'm a, you know, I took a nap, woke up, found out I was a Detroit Piston, and started to shed tears of joy. He wasn't happy in OKC, folks. Wasn't happy whatsoever. Now, again, he was playing second fiddle to Russell Westbrook, which is pretty tough because Russ, we all know Russ is a guy who takes a lot of shots. I mean, I'm just calling it like it is, folks. Russell Westbrook takes a lot of shots, and that's one of the reasons why I've always kind of doubted, you know, the Thunder's ability to possibly win a championship with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant on the same floor, because they both take a lot of shots. And Russell Westbrook, I mean, I'm one of those guys ideally thinks Kevin Durant is a better player than Russell Westbrook, and sometimes he doesn't know when to take a back seat to that. You know, he's a great, great, great talent. Don't get me wrong. But when you got a guy like Russell Westbrook, it's pretty hard to play backup to him. And he wasn't happy. He was even coming off the bench when this team was fully healthy. They weren't using Reggie Jackson's talents really at all, and he was frustrated about it. So that's why you got the reaction that you did from Reggie Jackson once he found out that he had been traded. And I think that, you know, I always say in Stan Van I trust, because I think Stan Van is a very great basketball mind, and it's remarkable how Stan Van is able to turn around the play of players. And I think that Stan Van is going to mold Reggie Jackson into the player that he needs to be in order for this team to be successful. And also, I like this move because it alludes to future success for the Pistons down the road, but also immediate success. I think Reggie Jackson is a guy who can come in and make an immediate impact for this ball club. Now, the long-term question, the obvious one, the elephant in the room, if you will, is whether or not, once Jennings becomes healthy next year, whether or not Jennings and Jackson can play with one another. Will their games clash? That's something that we have to find out and see. But I do think that Reggie Jackson will be a great addition for this team, and his ceiling is pretty high as well. Now, you talk about the acquisition of Tayshaun Prince. I don't know about that one. I think more so, first off, this story, more so than the acquisition of Reggie Jackson, has dominated the local headlines because, of course, Tayshaun Prince, he won an NBA championship with the Detroit Pistons back in 2004. Everyone loved that core of players. Tayshaun Prince was spectacular. He's beloved here in the city of Detroit. And, you know, to have him back wearing the red, white, and royal blue, man, that's going to be fun to watch. That is going to be very, very fun to watch. But how much does Tayshaun Prince have left in the tank? Folks, he is no spring chicken. You know, but when looking at his contributions for Memphis, I mean, watching Memphis this year, I mean, Tayshaun was able to come in and give them good minutes and from time to time, you know, get buckets as well. He shot 44.6% from the field this year so far, 48% from the three-point arc, which is something, you know, when this move was made to get rid of Kyle Singler and to ship him to OKC, okay, you're losing shooting. That's something that the Pistons have struggled with the past 5 years now. Why would you give up a shooter? But you bring in Tayshaun Prince, who can knock down the three-pointer. Again, 48%. That's pretty good. That's almost half of his shots from behind the arc. Now, the disparity when you look at how many three-pointers does he take on a nightly basis is skewed, but at the same time, Tayshaun can knock down that shot. Also, 7.6 points per game and playing 23 minutes. So those numbers, you know, I think will go up because, again, I think there's a lot of room for Tayshaun to come in and find his way with this team as well. But we'll see. Overall, though, as far as my overall opinion of it, I like the move. I really like the move, and I think Stan Van is planning for the future when looking at the Reggie Jackson acquisition. Now, there are many people that disagree with me, many people. Looking at USA Today, they felt as though the Pistons were amongst the losers of NBA trade deadline day, but I don't think so. I think you just have to see how this pans out and, you know, and really see how Reggie Jackson fits in this mold. Now, I do think that Reggie Jackson also had to take into account that he will be playing with guys like a Greg Monroe, like an Andre Drummond. There are other players on this team that also have to get their points, you know, and Reggie can't come in and just immediately be a sharpshooter here. So we'll see. What do you think about the moves? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, again, we got a lot to talk about on today's show. If you want to weigh in on the trade deadline, call in. We'll also be talking about, of course, Reflection Friday and thoughts on the NFL Combine. We actually have a caller right now on line one. It's our good friend. Oh, we don't. So do we have a ticket winner, Alex? No ticket winners just yet. So call in 517-355-9527. All right, let's transition now into our second talking point here. I want to talk about this because I think this is a very intriguing story with a lot of layers. The Big Ten is gathering feedback from its members about potentially making freshman athletes ineligible for competition as they adapt to college life. Now, the league has provided background to its members about such a step, but has made no official proposal at this point. Now, Big Ten football coaches and athletic directors didn't discuss freshman ineligibility at their recent business meeting, but they expect to do so in the coming months. Interesting story here because, you know, when you look at it, my initial feeling about it is I don't think that the conference should make this decision. I really think that the coaches who are with these players on a daily basis, who recruit these players and have some sort of a personal connection with them, the coaches whose responsibility is to make sure that these players aren't just succeeding on the playing field, but also in the classroom, those are the individuals who know these student-athletes and who should shoulder the responsibility of making sure that they are handling their business respectively in all assets of college life. I don't think the conference should have that power. I do think that there are other alternatives as to control this, other than the Big Ten just ruling in an overall blanket saying that all freshmen shouldn't play. I don't think that, because some are ready and some are not. It all depends on the maturity of the player. Because we've seen freshmen have success in college. We've seen freshmen go on to have success in their respective sports, and also go on to earn that four-year degree. And, you know, I love, though, that the Big Ten is taking in account academic success and considering this notion, because, you know, it's something that's always been in the question when it comes to the NCAA. You know, money is such an influx in this league that sometimes the student part of the athlete takes a tremendous backseat. But, you know, the fact that these talks are ensuing, more so from an academic standpoint, because that's what I'm reading here. I mean, if you look at Maryland President Wallace Lowe, you know, he went on record to say, quote, if they do well because they spend more time, get more academic advising, their freshman year, they're going to graduate. And I think it's worth spending an extra year of financial support to ensure that they graduate. So when you look at this discussion and look at different quotes from presidents and people from around the conference, they are more so attacking this argument from an academic standpoint. They want to see their student athletes succeed in the classroom. And having that first year, you know, as a freshman to sit out and to focus more so on the books, as well as also, participating and being around the program and just, you know, not just throwing them in the fire, but letting them adjust to everything. They're attacking that from an academic standpoint that says, okay, maybe them sitting out will sort of relieve that pressure and will slowly engulf them into the life of a college athlete. I like the conversation. I like that they're starting it, but I don't think that every single freshman should be ineligible to play. Because, again, it varies. The backgrounds of some of these kids varies. And to be honest with you, and, you know, I've always been an advocate for this because, you know, there are, you know, some of these, the backgrounds of these student athletes who come into a college program, some of them are very, very talented. And again, I know, I get it. It definitely varies from the sport, whether it be football and basketball, because basketball, you can go one and done. You know, football, they want you, you know, and same thing with football. But at the same time, the percentage of one and dones, did you know this? The percentage of one and dones are not even 1% of the overall student athlete body when you look at all colleges and universities across the board in the nation. So, you know, I tell you what, you know, looking at some of the troubling backgrounds of some of these student athletes, sitting out a year could help. Definitely. It could help, you know, with them academically and easing into the program. But let's be honest here. A lot of these student athletes who come from high school into, especially when you talk about basketball, when they come from, you know, from being such a highly touted recruit into a college program, especially like Kentucky, take them for example, a lot of them are thinking that one and done mentality. A lot of them have troubling backgrounds who are looking to, you know, play that first year, ball out of control, and then enter the NBA draft and make instant millions. Because quick millions for them could change their entire life. and for anyone, for that matter, to be honest with you. But it could really help because some of the families of these kids are really going through it, folks. So I think that when you look at the overall concept of this, it should be up to the coaches because they know more so than anybody the backgrounds of some of these players. And again, I understand it depends on the sport as well because, you know, when you take women's basketball or lacrosse, for example, the pros, there's a disparity between looking at that as opposed to college football and college basketball, college football and college men's basketball, for that matter, because the NBA is a multi-million dollar industry. The NFL rules the world, I always say. It depends on the sport as well. So, again, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, but I really do like the academic standpoint of this argument, though. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break and come back, folks. When we do, we'll be talking with Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Bob will talk about 40 years. Man, the 40th anniversary of the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that and so much more with Bob. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, TGIF, ladies and gents. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is a great friend of the show. He has been on multiple times before, and we are excited to invite him once again. His name is Bob Every, and he is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Bob, how you doing, my man?
Al, I am doing wonderful, other than the fact that I'm freezing my little petunia off here. I'd like to see some more warm weather shoot in this place.
Yeah, Bob, I think we are all layering up. I tell you what, it's that time of the year, man. You just kind of just want to stay inside all day and just blast your heat, man. It's I hope you're staying warm, though, Bob.
Well, I am staying warm, and the thing that does warm me up is, you know, the Tigers, the pitchers and the catchers reported yesterday. Baseball's not far away, and as you know, Al, that's my sport. I love baseball, so, you know, I can handle this for a few more weeks or a month yet, but I'll be glad it's gone.
Yeah, you know what? I actually saw some footage of the Tigers reporting from, you know, down south where the weather is absolutely beautiful. And I did get a little jealous, I tell you. I did get a little jealous. And we're actually going to dive into the Tigers with you as well. But I want to talk about this incredible class. Again, the 40th anniversary of the Greater Lansing Hall of Fame. Man, I tell you what, Bob, it seems like a well-rounded mix of some of the area's past standouts. It includes a brother wrestling tandem and a legendary basketball coach who are among the 10 individuals and three teams that are a part. Again, the Hall of Fame's 40th class. I mean, first off, Bob, when you think about 40 years, I mean, that's got to be kind of mind-blowing for you, right?
Well, it is, Al, when you consider I've been involved in one way or another with every class that we've had starting in 1976, which was our inaugural year. And this particular class has a Michigan State flavoring in it as well, with the two Simmons brothers, who were probably the most iconic wrestling brothers that ever come out of the state of Michigan, if not the entire United States. You know, I mean, so that's a good thing. They're going to be represented there, and we can't wait to get them in. And then we got eight other people. We decided to go back, Al. In the inaugural year, we inducted 10 people and then three teams, and we decided, since this is the 40th year, to do the same thing. We're going to induct 10 individuals and three teams, and the thing that we've thrown in the mix since we've had the inaugural class back in 76 was a thing called the Dick Letts Community Service Award, mm-hmm. and we have two representatives for that award this year, and, you know, one of them is the longtime baseball coach, and guy that's kept the Diamond Classic, the baseball classic, up and running, Larry Cockcroft, the former coach at Okemos High School, and then Judge George Economy, who is responsible for those holiday adoptions that we're so that we hear so much about around the Christmas time. But we're excited. We really are.
Now, I got to ask you, Bob, of course, with this being 40 years, I actually got the privilege of attending last year's Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame ceremony. It's a great ceremony filled with a lot of tears of joy and a lot of memorable moments. Now, what plans do you have up your sleeve? Seeing as though this is the 40th anniversary, it's got to be pretty special. Can you reveal anything, Bob?
Sure. I mean, it's obviously a Hall of Fames are what they are, and you know, they're mostly designed around recognizing former athletes that have long since put away their spikes or their baseball bat or their gloves or whatever sport that they participate in. And a lot of them think that, you know, they may have been forgotten forever. But we do think we have a well-balanced class this year with some new faces, meaning fairly young faces, along with some older faces. But what we're planning on doing is running the same good show. We are bringing back, I've contacted Dean Look, who is a probably considered to be one of Lansing's greatest all-time athletes. There are three surviving members of that inaugural class of 10 back in 76. Don Johnson, mm-hmm. the iconic athletic director at Eastern High School, and you've got Dean Look, and then you've got the national wrestling champion out of Michigan State University, Jim Sinodinos. We are bringing them back for special recognition on the Hall of Fame night. And we're going to present them with an award. Back in the old days, it wasn't quite the way it is now, Al. They received a little certificate. We didn't even have the meal. We just kind of recognized them, gave them a certificate. We've progressed and advanced quite a ways since that first inaugural year of 76, and we want to make sure these three guys are recognized. And then we have so many other people that are coming back, ex-Hall of Famers that have heard about this and want to be a part of this. So, you know, other than the same quality show that we're used to running down at the Lansing Center, and thank goodness for the Lansing Center, they cooperate and work with us so much. Scott Keith, the CEO down there, does a great job. We just want this to be not only a memorable night for the people that are inducted, but certainly for the family members that come and watch them be inducted.
Folks, we are talking with Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Now, Bob, throughout these 40 years, do you have a favorite class throughout that 40 years that really stands out in your mind?
Well, you know, I have certain incidences that took place at one time or another, but all the Hall of Fames, you know, they are what they are. And, you know, I can't pull one particular Hall of Fame out of my you know, out of the top of my head, except maybe for the Magic Johnson one when Magic came back in 2012. Mm-hmm. That's a little easy to remember. I mean, we had 750 people for that that induction to see other members, plus Magic's state championship basketball team that he played on. George Fox was the coach of that team. That's probably the most memorable time because of the size of it. But individually, you know, there are a couple of people, and Rick Edwards, the iconic swim coach that was out at, come from Eastern High School at Okemos, and it's really sad. He gave one of the most poignant acceptance speeches I've ever heard at any level, not just the Hall of Fame here. Mm-hmm. When I called Rick to let him know that he had been inducted, he was so overcome with joy that he was actually crying. And then when he gave his acceptance speech several months later, he was crying again, but for the wrong reasons. Rick had found out that he had developed pancreatic cancer, and
oh, wow.
He actually died not too long after that acceptance speech that he gave when we inducted him. So that might be the thing probably that I remember the most, Al, simply because of the joy of initially him showing when he was being inducted, and then the sadness that he knew he was dying when he gave his acceptance speech. And you know, those are the types of emotions that surround these types of Hall of Fames. Everybody has a story to tell, and they're great stories. I mean, they are really great stories. And just the energy that goes on in that room, you know, for the 3.5 hours that generally it takes place, I wouldn't miss it for the world, Al.
Yes, certainly, Bob. So he got the news right after he took the podium, or what was the time frame
of
that?
Here is, you know, when I called him up, when we had the selection, mm-hmm. and I called him up just after January 1st and told him that he was being inducted, he was absolutely ecstatic. He just couldn't believe it. He was He was so, so happy. And then he found out a few months after that that he had pancreatic cancer and that he was going to die. So when he made his, when he came to the meeting, mm-hmm. the acceptance award dinner, and made his speech, he knew he was dying.
Wow.
And he gave one of the most heartfelt acceptance speeches I have ever heard. I mean, can you imagine, you know, his wife being there and his friends and his kids and all this stuff and having to say what he said knowing that he was not going to be around for a whole lot longer. And I actually saved that, and somehow we're going to try to put that up on our webpage for other people to maybe to listen to, along with other acceptance speeches that we thought were noteworthy. But that was a sad day. It really was. But Rick Edwards was a great coach, and he's missed every day.
Yeah, wow, what a moment. What a moment. Riveting to say the least. Now, yeah, I'm sure there are many out there who would love to check out that video, man. All right, Bob, well, I want to talk about, last but not least, before I shift gears here, I mean, because again, when looking at this year's class that will be inducted this, I believe, July, right? Do I have that date right?
July 30th will be the date at the right. Lansing Center.
Right, July 30th. I tell you what, it's such a well-rounded class. Is it a challenge for you and the committee to make sure to try and reach that goal of having a well-rounded class every year?
Well, we think that everybody that is selected is worthy in one way or another. Some people can't understand why somebody isn't already in, and there's reasons for that. But I mean, when you take a look at this class, and let me go down them real quick if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Andy and Nick Simmons, iconic wrestlers. Stephanie Smiley, probably one of the very best women's basketball players to ever come out of this area. Fritz Kellerman, who is a three-time All Big Ten champion at Michigan, and a state wrestling champion at Sexton. The great, iconic Johnny Jones won state championships in basketball in two genders, men and women. I mean, how about that? Kim Spalsbury, one of the greatest track and cross-country coaches to ever come along. Jesse Gallegos, one of the very few four-time state Golden Gloves champions to ever come out of Michigan, right here from Lansing. And the iconic coach in Atlanta Community College, Chuck Block, who won the national championship, won 13 regional championships, 11 state championships. Jamie Wesley, who played basketball at Michigan State, could have played softball, was probably a better softball player than a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And she's coming in. And then the individuals are headed up by Scott Kemp, who was played on a state championship Grand Lakes baseball team, was a two-time All-Stater, went down to Eastern Michigan University, was a star down at Eastern, was signed in the pros. I mean, those are the 10 individuals, and they all have stories to tell. And I mean, I did a fast overview of them, but when you read their credentials, you know, you say, man, these guys, you know, what took you so long to get them in? And then our three teams, Al, are the 1960 Hazlitt undefeated football team that was coached by Denny Stoles, the former coach at Michigan State University. And then you had the 1977 DeWitt softball team. They were the very first team to win a state championship out of DeWitt High School, and you know how tough DeWitt athletics is today.
Yeah.
And then they're headed up by the only team, the only golf team, inner-city school, the 1979 Lansing Eastern boys golf team. The only inner-city golf team to win a state championship. So we think that's huge. And then you talk about, again, the Dicklets with Larry Cockcroft and George Economy. And, you know, those are the individuals and the teams that are going to be recognized on July the 30th.
Man, that will be one incredible event with a cast of unbelievable and well-deserved honorees. All right, Bob, well, before I get you out of here, I want to get your thoughts. Of course, you just talked about how you're a big baseball guy. I want to get your thoughts on the MLB adding the pace of play rules that will be enacted this upcoming season. Now, Major League Baseball, they announced today that it has implemented a significant pace of play rule and other changes for the 2015 year in an effort to speed up the game. Now, the rules include managers staying in the dugout during replay challenges, hitters keeping at least 1 foot in the batter's box during a prompt return to play after TV commercial breaks, and timed pitching changes. Bob, is the game too slow, and do you like the changes?
Well, I I love baseball. It's my sport. And I can't get enough baseball. But I think maybe they're missing the boat. I mean, I don't know why a guy needs to take six pitches when a relief pitcher comes in out of the bullpen on the mound. I mean, you don't get a guy coming into a basketball game and seeing him shooting six shots or anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, there's other areas I think that you can shave time off if you really think the game is too slow. I don't think the game is too slow myself. I mean, I know people want to see it rush through and be done with, but I enjoy watching baseball, and I enjoy the opportunity when there's a downtime to be able to visit with somebody that I'm watching the game with. So it'll be interesting to see how the slowdown or the speed-up rule, I guess, works. But, I think there's other areas that they can probably delve into if they want to speed it up. And one of my pet peeves is, why do these guys that come in out of the bullpen get six warm-up pitches?
Right.
I mean, they're throwing,
right.
It's the same distance out in the bullpen as it is on the mound. It's the same kind of mound. It's the same thing. Go in, give them the ball, and let's start the game. Let's don't give them six warm-up pitches.
No, I agree. I agree, Bob. I've always been puzzled as to why that break needs to happen for him to come. Again, after he's been warming up in the bullpen for I don't know how long, then he comes out and has to get those pitches. I definitely understand that.
And look at the how it sets up.
I mean,
do you watch a major league game anymore where a pitcher finishes the game that he starts?
Exactly.
Very, very rarely. So
right.
you've got your setup man, you've got your closer. So you've got, on a lot of occasions, you've got four or five other pitchers besides the starter coming into a ball game. You take and put a stopwatch on the time it takes him to get in, throw those six warm-up pitches, and then start the game again, and you subtract that by four and see how much time there that you could eliminate. You know, I mean?
Right.
So I like it the way it is. I don't necessarily think that the game needs to be changed, but, you know, who am I?
All right, Bob, two more rapid-fire questions for you here. One, what are your thoughts on the Tigers this year, and is it a do-or-die year for Dave Dombrowski's squad?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I believe that the Tigers are going to be all right, and I don't believe that the problems they have are any different than the problems that other teams have across the board. We hear more about it because, you know, we're from the state of Michigan, and what, are you going to advertise the Padres the way you advertise the Tigers in Michigan? I doubt that. I like the changes that they've made. You know, if Cespedes can do his job and Rajay Davis, he can provide something. I would like to see, quite honestly, starting out spring training with Iglesias put at the top spot, because when he played with the Tigers that full year, he led the American League with infield hits.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to walk a little bit more, and he needs to cut down on his strikeouts, but he certainly has the speed. But I'd like to see him up at the top spot instead of necessarily the bottom spot and then work from there. Of course, you know, outside of Avila, outside of Martinez, Victor Martinez, and outside of Cabrera, Iglesias that year had the highest on-base percentage. So I think he could be a leadoff hitter, but we'll see. I think they're going to be fine. The pitching's going to be fine. Goodbye, Scherzer. Let Washington deal with that stuff, and we'll be all right. If you don't want to be a Tiger, get the heck out of here.
I like your non-nonsense approach to that, Bob. I love that. And last but certainly not least, it's our question of the day, I guess you can say, here on Current Sports, Bob. The Big Ten is seeking feedback from its members about the possibility of making freshman athletes ineligible for competition as they adjust to college life. What are your thoughts?
Well, why? I mean, so they're going to go back the way it was in the 60s and before that. I mean, listen, if guys are mature enough to go to war at 18 years of age and do this and do that, you generally come into a college as an 18-year-old, let them play. You
right.
know, I mean, it makes little or no sense to me, but you're not talking to a big NCAA fan, Al. I think the NCAA is the biggest racket going, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, you know, the federal government really needs to take a look at that organization, because I think they've done more harm to sports than they've done good, in my opinion.
No, we're on the same page with that one, Bob. Appreciate it, my man. There you have it. The one, the only, Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Of
Thanks,
course.
Al.
Hey, no problem, Bob. Appreciate that. And then, folks out there, we'll be keeping you abreast as the time approaches in July. July 30th is when the 40th anniversary of the Hall will be taking place. Bob, thanks a lot, my man. All right. Well, this is our second break here. When we come back, we will reflect on this Friday like we do each and every Friday here on Current Sports. It's Reflection Friday, and we'll give you our brief thoughts on the NFL Combine and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
So tonight, with the moon shining bright, there's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am the man behind the mic, Al Martin. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Call in right now if you want to give your thoughts on anything that's on your sports noggin. Pretty cool stuff here. I'm on Twitter as we speak. And how about this? The Sacramento Kings have actually signed David Stockton. David Stockton, does that name ring a bell? Well, that last name should ring a bell because that is actually the son of Hall of Famer guard John Stockton. How about that? David Stockton, he's actually signed to a 10-day contract with the Kings. That's pretty cool stuff right there. Also, for all the students out there listening, there is actually a pretty big career fair taking place as we speak. Grab your resumes and professional dress attire and head on out there. There are outlets from everywhere down there right now. And Alex, I think you're actually going to be heading down there after the show, right? You're dressed in your suit and tie, my man. Actually, let's invite Alex right now to the show. We haven't heard his voice all show. How you doing, Alex?
Yeah, good. I'm getting ready for this career fair, and what a better way to start a conversation than to talk about the trade deadline yesterday.
Yeah exactly. Yeah, what are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts before we bring a brief Reflection Friday here? What are your thoughts on the Pistons and also on the freshman athlete fiasco?
I could talk about both these all day, but I guess to summarize it in a few minutes since we're about to go on Reflection Friday, the Detroit Pistons, Al, in my eyes, completely downgraded their chances of making a playoff run this year. I think there's potential for a long-term solution with a guy like Reggie Jackson, but overall, if you compare the points per game, the assists per game, the effect that he's had on the team, and the field goal percentage shooting, and a whole lot more, Reggie Jackson is underperformed in all those categories. DJ Augustine outperforms Reggie Jackson in all of those categories. So I think for the Pistons, for this year, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think that this move overall, Al, was a move that Van Gundy wanted himself. He has said before that he liked bigger point guards. The Detroit Free Press talked all about that today. I think this was a move that Stan had his eyes on someone. It's his team. It's who he wanted in this specific place. It may not be the temporary best term on paper, but overall, in the future, it has some potential.
Well, honestly, I think when you look at what they gave up, DJ Augustine, Kyle Singler, Jonas Jerebko, and Gigi Datome, I think when you look at and compare Reggie Jackson to all four of those players, I think he's a better player all around. I think he's athletic. He penetrates better.
You think he's better than DJ Augustine?
I think he's way better than DJ Augustine. I think he's a scorer. He can give you buckets left and right. Again, he's not afraid of big moments in many ways. In many, many ways. I kind of want to save this for my Monday rant, but in many ways, Reggie Jackson reminds me a lot of Chauncey Billups. I think he can bring to the table a lot what Chauncey did back in 2004, if you want to be completely honest with it. And I think right now he's right on the heels. If you give Reggie Jackson the amount of minutes that Russell Westbrook was given in Oklahoma City, I think Reggie Jackson is an all-star. And I've been watching this kid since he came in the league. And again, he's only 24 years old. He has a tremendous upside. Really quick, your thoughts on the Big Ten freshman?
Yeah, that's the thing about I'd love Stan to prove everyone wrong. I'd love you to be right, Alan, Stan. But for the freshman overall, I think that this is a silly rule. What's the point of redshirting if this is such a big deal? I think this is kind of in place of redshirt. Most freshmen redshirt already. They already get their fifth year. This wouldn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And if at the end of the day, it should be up to the coaches, which it already is right now. If they don't think a freshman is ready to make an immediate impact, throw that red shirt on them. All right, folks. Well, 5 minutes left. Let's dive into Reflection Friday, where we take a look at the week that was in sports and bring you our favorite stories and moments here on the show, or any stories and moments that we didn't get a chance to cover. Here we go. Time for Reflection Friday. All right, it's Reflection Friday, folks. Let's reflect a bit here on the week that was on Current Sports and in general in the sporting world. I'm a little bit perturbed, man. I don't know if you saw this story, Alex, but Of course, Chris talked about it to start the show here in our Quick Hit Headliners, but the Big Ten released its men's basketball scheduling rotation for next season. And get this, Michigan State's lonely game with rival Michigan will take place in Ann Arbor. There's only going to be one Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball game. And actually, I was at practice yesterday and got a chance to chat with Izzo about that very thing. And possibly will there be a non-conference scheduling. I should say before the conference season starts, will there be a game between Michigan State and Michigan to even it out and have two matchups? And right now, that's not in the plans as of right now. But I just can't believe how, you know, you have an in-state rival that's so coveted like Michigan State and Michigan, and they only meet just once on the hardwood next year. Don't like that at all. Also, had a great time with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1 on the show. Rico was fantastic. He had some strong views on the MSU men's basketball team and as far as their tourney chances. Rico thinks that Michigan State will go one and done in the NCAA tourney. So they'll win one. If they win two, he said, quote, they should hang a banner here in East Lansing. So I kind of see him. I'm kind of on that page right now. I think this Michigan State team is a team that has had such an up-and-down year, at least it started. Right now are hitting probably the best stretch of its season with three straight wins, and of course they have a chance to enact a bit of revenge against Illinois on Sunday, but I haven't seen a lot that will, I guess, look into my tourney crystal ball for Michigan State and say, hey, this is a team that can go all the way. I kind of agree with Rico in that regard. All right. Also, I love how the MLB is thinking about speeding up play. You know, when you talk about Bob, you know, you just heard Bob Every's thoughts on it and how, you know, there's other ways to do this. But again, I just think, especially when you talk about the younger sporting audience, you know, kids who are looking at, you know, the game right now, I honestly think right now, I think the younger generation, they love the NBA and they love the NFL. Partly because there's action always going on all the time. In an NBA game, for instance, I mean, there's action constantly taking place left and right. Baseball, I'm talking to my younger cousins about this. Baseball is boring because it's too slow. Way too slow, and it's not that exciting because of the pace of play. So I think the MLB is starting to realize this, and they're starting to really put some things into play to possibly experiment with speeding up the game because it does need it. So I really like it. I like the MLB, you know, the MLB enacting these pace of play rules. We'll see how big of a difference these make, though. Also, again, going back to, you know, the Piston rant, you know, I think the Pistons trade moves, I like them long term. And I think, you know, I think Reggie is a guy who can come in and is kind of, looking at the criticism that Reggie Jackson is getting, I think he could silence a lot of mouths with his play as soon as he gets in there because I think he's a guy who can come in and make an immediate impact. So that's my brief reflection Friday right there. Alex, what's your favorite moments of the week, my man?
Yeah, as you know, Al, I'm covering Michigan State tennis this semester, and I was at the big match yesterday against Memphis. They're in the top 50 overall.
And where do they play, by the way?
They play at the MSU Indoor Tennis Facility. It's located on Mount Hope in Harrison. Hope in Harrison.
Because I was wondering, because, you know, actually, after MSU men's basketball practice, me and Kelsey went to Jennison Fieldhouse and thought it was there. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know where it is. We'll just send you out to wrestling tomorrow. I didn't know where it was, man, so that's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, but I was at the match yesterday against Memphis, top 50 team, and man, this Michigan State men's team, this might be one of the best teams in the history of the program. I mean, this team has a lot of potential. The team is working well more than ever. They lost yesterday in a really close one. They lost, I believe it was like a 4-2, 5-2 final. But overall, I mean, they just got their team back healthy. They have a lot of talent. They have some guys. Jaden and JP Mullane are one of the highest-ranked doubles partners in school history. So it's pretty incredible what the team has done, and I can't wait to talk about it more this year. So
yeah,
that's
and they barely lost to Memphis, right? It was like 5-3 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that was the final of that. So, okay.
And overall, last thing, instant replay. I think you're right. It's good for the game to speed it up, but I'm very curious to see how it will affect the batters. I think, you know, with batting, there's a little bit of a rhythm to it. As a former player myself with baseball, there is a rhythm to it. I mean, if they're really speeding up pitching and batting and all that, it's going to affect the performance, I think, Al.
Yeah,
performance
sir.
Will go down.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Reflection Friday. On Monday, we'll recap the NFL Combine and also Senior Day for the MSU women's basketball team and that MSU and Illinois matchup. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.